In its first week of release, the new album by Death Cab for Cutie hit number one on the Billboard charts. That's a first for the Seattle band, which stopped by a BPP Studios the day the album, which is called Narrow Stairs, came out. They played some songs for us, and then we sat down with singer-songwriter Ben Gibbard and guitarist-producer Chris Walla to talk about the new record. This song that we're listening to now, You Can Do Better Than Me, it's off the new album, and it's sort of a miniature encapsulation of what the band does really well and how it's managed to grow a loyal following. Here's what it does. These detailed descriptions of emotional moments that are wrapped up in very sweet melodies. It's over in just 2 minutes, but the band doesn't mind stretching things out either. The first single released off Narrow Stairs runs 8 minutes long, believe it or not. We kicked off our conversation by asking Ben Gibbard about finding inspiration for his songs at the home of one of his favorite writers.
With every record, I try to take some kind of writing trip to kind of go somewhere and just kind of change my environment for a couple of weeks and finish the songs that I need to finish and hopefully write a couple more while I'm there. And I took part in this kind of, soon to be completed, I would imagine, documentary about Kerouac, and got to kind of see the cabin that Kerouac stayed at back in the, I guess it'd be early 60s or late 50s. And I just was able to rent it, and I decided to go down there for a couple of weeks and spend that writing trip there. So I just kind of spent a couple of weeks in Big Sur and finished the songs for this record.
Chris, when he comes back, so he goes away. This is a question about the writing process. Mm-hmm. You draft out kind of the bones of what you want a song to sound like, and you come and present it to Chris and the rest of the band. I'm assuming this is how it goes down in the stripped down version. When he puts these songs to you, do the other textures of how you want this to be come immediately to your mind? I mean, one example, You Can Do Better Than Me. Did you hear that and think, oh yeah, we're going to make a big sound, we're going to have big drums, we're going to have big organ in this?
Sometimes Ben brings stuff in and it's definitely just bones. And then sometimes he brings stuff in and it's like bones and muscle and skin, and it's like already wearing a suit and has a feather in its hat.
Little tuxedo.
Everything. Yeah, and like it's...
Been to college. Yeah. Strong opinions about the deficit.
Totally, yeah. And it's like it's every... every song's a little different. Like sometimes it's like you just take the picture. It's like you just... the arrangement makes sense. Everything's working and then we just do it like that. And then sometimes it's like it's just wearing the wrong suit, and sometimes it's the bones are in totally the wrong body. And like it's just a matter of like trying to determine which is which. And You Can Do Better came in as, it was just piano and vocal, right?
When it came in. It was one of those more sparse vocals that I turned into.
Yeah, totally. The whole like sleigh bell timpani send up was definitely... Like, that was Ben's idea, but it was something that it made perfect sense to me. As soon as he said it, it was like, right, got it.
And
but
from that, when he said sleigh bells timpani, did you hear like 80% of the final version? Did you hear
kinda
it right
did,
then?
Kind of did, yeah.
But that was also, but that's an interesting song to kind of note because, that song, I think, kind of showcases more Chris's production on the editing than it does necessarily the arrangement, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like, I brought the song and it had a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus. And Chris, it wasn't a song that was really in contention for the album, I don't think. It was just one of many songs. And Chris was like, well, why don't you just have it be the first verse and the first chorus? You say everything you need to say in that minute and a half. Let's just cut the other half of the song off and, just let it be this long.
It's a two-minute song, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And to me, that it just was perfect because that's, the sentiment throughout the song, that's about as long as that thought goes through your head. You find yourself having a really dire thought about a person you're with, and then by the time you kind of come full circle to it, you realize that you were foolish to think that way in the first place, and there's no point stretching that sentiment out. And to me, that's one of the biggest calls that Chris made on the record that really saved the song and made it something really special, I think.
Let's listen to a little bit of music. We're going to hear the whole band. We're going to hear a song off the new album. The album is called Narrow Stairs. The song is called Talking Bird.
My talk. Cat in an open cage. Sometimes you get confused, like there is a hint that I'm trying to give you. The longer you think, the less you know what to do. Hard to see your way out when you live in a house in a house. 'Cause you don't
That's Death Cab for Cutie playing an acoustic version of a song called Talking Bird live in the BPP studios the day their new album Narrow Stairs came out. Now, it may not sound like it after that mellow song, but the new album is being described by quite a few critics as really muscular, really beefy, a lot of texture to it. We asked Chris Walla about that word.
I think it's got some sort of brutish kind of muscular qualities about it. Yeah, I think after 8 months off, we all had a series of introspective, distinctively not muscular experiences. It was kind of weird. Like, we all got
back
together.
What's an example of a not muscular
experience?
Well,
like a solo acoustic tour, or
right.
like working on a solo record where everything's an overdub. So yeah, I mean, it was, everybody was really ready. I mean, after a year and a half of just playing scrappy rock music every night on big stages and then going away and doing like sort of solitary things, it was really nice to come back and just plug in and play rock music.
Yeah.
Back to basics, like everybody in the room together, recording the tape, just totally doing it the way that bands used to make records before we were looking at all the sounds.
Last question, then I'll let you go. What about this album gives you the most satisfaction, each of you? What are you most proud of?
I am most proud of the fact... Okay, two things. I'm most proud of the fact that we played the thing as a band. I mean, say for some really isolated instances, it's the first time that we've really done that sort of as a theme for making a record all the way through. And I'm totally thrilled with the artwork. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like not something that's like directly related to the record, but it's exactly related to the record. It is a part of it. And I love how the artwork glues together with the music. And that doesn't always happen, you know?
Yeah. Ben.
You know, I mean, I feel kind of the most proud of the fact that this record, the writing and particularly the recording of this record felt more like something that we did 10 years ago than what we did in recent years.
Right.
Like where it didn't feel like every day I was going to the studio, I was going in to make the second major label record for a band that had just went platinum. It felt like I was going to a room with my friends and just making a record. And
you guys have been friends a long time now.
Exactly. Yeah, we have. And I just really like the fact that it was just a very fun process.
Before we let you go, we're going to get one more song out of you. It's called I Will Possess Your Heart.
And again, the album is called Narrow Stairs. Thank you guys very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
How I wish you could see the potential of you and me. It's like a book elegantly bound, but in a language that you can't read. You gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me. And I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart. Spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me, and I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart. Outside your window, I see my reflection as I slowly pass. And I long for this mirrored perspective. We'll be lovers, lovers at last. You gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me. And I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart. Gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me. And I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart. I will possess your heart. Some time with me, and I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart. You gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me, and I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart. You gotta spend some time, love. Spend some time with me, and I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart. I will possess your heart. I will possess your heart.
That was Death Cab for Cutie live in the BPP studios. You can see video of that performance on our blog. Go there, npr.org/Bryant Park. Stay with us next on the show. Are you ready for the Hulk to hit theaters? Or what about the new Batman movie, Dark Knight? Well, we're not going to talk about either of those. Instead, Dan Holloway kicks off the summer movie season with a look at some of the films overshadowed by those blockbuster hits. Stay tuned. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.